All right, as the music fades off into the distance, it's time to start the Friday night edition of Sports Time Radio. I am the Big Jack. Dan the Man is taking a much-deserved day off, so filling in about 15 minutes early for him on Friday is Mr. Fantasy.
Are we sure that needed rest is what we're going with for tonight?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to go with. I didn't quite have, you know, any other options on why he's not here. So we'll just go with that. Anyways, you want to call us 646-478-3753. We'll get you into the studio. Or you can email us sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Oh, for all your other Sports Time Radio related needs, go to sportstimeradio.com. The front page there is the blog, which is also on WordPress.com. You can check that out. There is a link to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Stop over there and like it for us, please. Also, the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. What else? Also, Mr. Fantasy and I are both on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and Mr. Fantasy is at
Mr. Fantasy Sports.
There you go. Now, I waited just to hear this from you on Friday instead of bringing it up Wednesday night, but we almost tragically lost Mr. Fantasy on Wednesday. He was hunting for food in his home, and you shot a gas line. Is that what happened?
No. They were doing some road construction across on our street, and across the street they hit a gas line and a gas main, and they had to evacuate the whole street.
Oh, see, I thought you were Jed Clampett and you were hunting for food and got a little carried away with your rifle and, you know. So it wasn't you.
Up came a bubbling natural gas.
Yes, so that's just frightening. But then you did leave your poor dog behind, which I was very disappointed in you for. So
he was fine.
But being all said, the dog was fine. Everybody was fine. Poor dog. So, anyways, did your world end last night when the Miami Heat lost, like most of the sports writers' world did?
No, my world actually threw a big party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was chuckling as always. One of my favorite things to do now is to watch the good old Empire Sports Network when the Heat lose. Because it's much more entertaining because they have to come up with excuses for their losses. I've realized this team never gets beat. There's always a reason why they lost. And last night, they blamed it on the fact that they went 7 games with Indiana and they were fatigued late in the game, where San Antonio had 9 days off and they were well rested. So that was the only reason they lost, was because they're coming out of a 7-game series.
Now, when they lost to the Bulls in the first game, wasn't that because the Bulls had went 7 and they were too rested, and the Bulls were in playoff basketball form because they just – isn't that what I heard when that happened?
Yes, that was the excuse then, was they were rusty and the Bulls were ready to play. So, you know, it just depends – who you listen to or which excuse they can come up with. But, you know, nobody remembers them using that excuse for the loss to the Bulls. So you're the only one who remembers that.
It'll be interesting.
So, yeah, it was, you know, it's always entertaining because then, you know, when they lost to Indiana, it was the referee's fault. So.
Now, it's not that the Spurs are better coached, to have a more well-rounded team, that they're a better team, none of that.
No, it is never that they get beat. That's the one thing I've learned through the playoffs, is they have never been beat. It's always some other reason. Now, I honestly expect them to turn right around and win. I think they have the extra day off again. I don't think they play again until Sunday. So this is going to be one of those stupid drawn-out series where, you know, there's 800 off days in between games. But, yeah, I think, you know, I fully expect the Heat to turn around and win game 2. You know, I mean, it's on their home floor. I'm sure the refs will make sure it goes their way. you know, it's not difficult to do.
It'll be interesting. I'm rooting for the Spurs, so I'm hoping that they win.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of leaning San Antonio's way. I don't think as many as before. I don't know if Miami is as hated as before. And, like, the weird thing is I don't even hate the team. You know, like, I hate the way LeBron James left Cleveland. I think that was a pretty crappy way to do it. But he was free to choose wherever he wanted to go. He was a free agent. You know, so, I mean, like, I don't hate that. I think I hate the way the media portrays them. That's what just drives me nuts about this team. You know, I mean, come on, Aaron, say, hey, San Diego played better and they beat them. Not, oh, well, they were tired and they looked tired and you could tell the fatigue from, you know, game 7 against Indiana and Indiana really beat them up. And, you know, I'm just kind of like, shut up and just say they got beat.
See, my problem with the Heat is I hated the way that the team came together. And, you know, all of us in Chicago would be hypocrites because it almost came together in Chicago. And then, you know, everybody would be loving it. But I hate when you get those super teams when they just, you know, I just feel there's not a competitive balance. And you want to see those superstars. You want to see them on, you know, other teams instead of all of them on one team. And it's kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters come to town to play. Who do they play travel with?
The Washington Generals.
There you go. It's kind of like that, you know, is what I feel like. And it's just kind of unfair. And the Washington Generals win once in a while, but it's, you know, you want to see more competitive balance and to think that your team has a, you know, has a chance. It's kind of like why I hate the Yankees, because it's unfair in baseball how that, how the payroll structure works.
Yeah, well, you know, like if you draft your team and you build your team, you know, and you go out and make smart trades or stuff like that, I don't have a problem with that. But the fact that LeBron and Chris Bosh kind of colluded to come to Miami and try to win championships, you know, that's the thing I really don't like, because great players don't do that. But, you know, it's a different era. I mean, you would have never saw Jordan signed to play with Bird, or Jordan signed to play with Magic, or Magic signed to play with Bird, or anything like that, because they wanted to beat each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's, you know, different era, different people. I mean, you know, obviously you can always kind of tell where everybody's from and how they look at it just by the way they react to it. And obviously we're old. So, you know, but, you know, kids love it, you know.
Now, I saw this blurb, and I'm hoping you can help me with this. I saw Rodman came out and said that if LeBron James played in the 90s, he would be average. Did you see that story?
Yeah, well, I didn't see the story, but I heard the report on it. So, you know, that was about as bad as Karl Malone picking his all-time greatest starting five and forgetting to put Michael Jordan in it. So
then did you hear the sec? Because that was only part one of the interview. I heard you talking about that on Wednesday, and I had heard the interview with Karl Malone, and there's a second part of that interview that wasn't getting played, and he came back on and he proceeded to say, look, he said he was the person he was on with, he was having fun with the guy at his expense. He had a big man crush for LeBron James and some other players that they were talking about. And he just kind of threw him in there, and he said you would be stupid to think that Michael Jordan doesn't belong on anybody's greatest list ever. And the person who he's doing this interview with said, well, you know, he's like, well, why didn't you tell anybody that you were kidding at some point? But I guess the interview was with, was it Dan Patrick he was interviewing with, who had, you know,
yeah,
who he gave his top five to? And that's what he said. He said Dan Patrick had a man crush for certain players, and LeBron James was one of them, and he was doing that just to get Dan Patrick's goat, that he was just having fun at his expense.
Yeah, and sadly, nobody believes that. So, you know, he can say whatever he wants to cover it up. You know, everybody realizes it's petty jealousy because Jordan beat him in the finals every time, and he could never get that title. So, you know, he's just going to have to eat it, and he can try to cover it any way he wants to. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Now, I don't remember where I heard this from. It might have been from you on Wednesday, or it might have been from when I was listening to the story about this, but who does it help more? Who has more motivation than Karl Malone to put Michael Jordan in the greatest five ever, considering Michael Jordan beat him so often? If he doesn't, then that diminishes Karl Malone's career, wouldn't you think?
No, not really, you know, because he managed to find a way to get John Stockton in as his point guard, even though everybody and their brother would take Magic over Stockton. I think John Stockton would take Magic over John Stockton. So, you know, when you look at his list, I mean, it's just, you know, we joke around about it all the time about bitter ex-indie wrestlers. He's just a bitter ex-NBA player. That's all he is.
You know, I don't disagree. I heard you saying that, you know, everybody would take Michael or take Magic Johnson. But my question is, isn't John Stockton the all-time assist leader in NBA history?
Yeah, he might be, but that was just more for the fact that he had a very long career. You know, because you got to remember, I think Jason Kidd is second or third on that list, but, you know, he played 19 seasons. So if you're that long, you're going to add up stats.
I know, but you still got to be good to do it. And I just remember that was his 90s is my era of basketball. And John Stockton was very, very good at distributing the basketball and getting it to the open guy to make the shot. And that's what he did good, and that's what made that team really good.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying John Stockton's not good. I'm just saying he's, you know, you'd want Magic Johnson.
Oh, I don't disagree, but I can kind of see his,
I understood the John Stockton thinking on his part. I mean, they were teammates forever. You know, Stockton got probably the majority of his assists passing the ball to Karl Malone. You know what I mean? Like, I used to like Karl Malone as a player until he turned out to be a complete goof on the Dan Patrick show, you know. So, you know, he just made himself look like a tool. But, yeah, no, I don't have anything against John Stockton at all. I just don't think he's a better player than Magic Johnson.
Well, I don't either, but I'm just saying. My only point is I don't think that was as outlandish as maybe you're making it seem. I think that you can make an argument for it. I wouldn't buy it. I would go with Magic myself, but I can see him being – the next tier below Magic Johnson at that position.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I mean, you can make an argument for a lot of guys. I mean, you know, we could probably, you know, if my friend Schomburg Stu was on with us, he could probably make an argument for Bob Cousy, you know, who was the greatest point guard of his era. So, you know, I mean, everybody's going to have their guys. But, I mean, again, I have no issues with John Stockton. He is a great player, but Magic Johnson is better. So, you know, when you're putting a team together, you want the best players.
I agree.
So, you know, that was I don't even have a big beef with, you know, Stockton being on his team. I would expect that out of Karl Malone. I would almost expect the same thing out of Stockton. You know, if he put his team together, Karl Malone would probably be on it just because, you know, they played together for – you know, probably 15, 16 years before Malone floated around to, I think, the Lakers to try to win a title. So.
And besides, how many basketball players other than Magic Johnson were in Michael Jackson videos? I mean, that alone kind of put him at the top.
So, you know, you can never go wrong there. So, I mean, I'm more impressed that I'm looking at the clock and we've been going almost 15 minutes and you've managed to hang in with the NBA talk. So.
Once you hit 90s, I'm good. That was my era of basketball. I loved the 90s, and then things kind of – and it is a discussion for another day, but when you got into the 2000s, I think the type of players changed, and I don't think that the personalities were as likable as in the 90s, and it kind of was harder for me to watch. So.
Yeah. So, and then just a quick update, the Boston Bruins Pittsburgh Penguins are 0-0 in the second period. Boston's looking to sweep that series. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But oddly, you know, there are actually times I scare myself on this show. because so far I have called the Blackhawks series exactly right. I kind of figured they'd win at home because, you know, L.A. stinks on the road, but they were undefeated at home. But I kind of had a feeling the Blackhawks were going to win game four, and I think I actually came on air and said they would Wednesday night, and they did. And I just kind of got a feeling they're going to close it out tomorrow. So it looks like we're headed to a Chicago-Boston Stanley Cup final unless the Penguins make an incredible comeback.
Well, that would be good. Chicago needs a team to root for. There's, you know, baseball.
Yes, because baseball season is over. So baseball season's over and football camp doesn't start until July. So somebody fill the void for us.
And football for the Bears right now looks like it's going to be surprisingly very good, or it's just going to be bad this year. And I'm thinking that there's not going to be much middle ground for, you know, what's going to happen.
Didn't you yell at me for saying that earlier on a program? Or no, you called me at home to yell at me about that, I think. So,
no, you told me that there was no chance they were going to be good. That's what you told me, and I disagree with that.
Yes,
I think that's
what I'm going with. I'm thinking 6-10 is what I'm thinking. So that's my goal for them right now is 6-10.
It's still too early to figure that
yes,
out.
Yes, I know it. What is it? Holy crap, it's June or something like that? You know,
that's
something,
exactly.
You
I'm
know.
Saying it's
along,
June. That's
along those lines. So, you know, but I want to tell the folks a little story about my life here since we're into fantasy talk. As I mentioned Wednesday, we made a trade in our money league, Mr. Fantasy and I did. We got Patrick Corbin for the now disabled and looking like the longly term disabled Bryce Harper. So it looks like we made a pretty good deal there. So what we decided to do is put Patrick Corbin in our rotation, but we had to take somebody out, and the last guy we decided to go with was Francisco Liriano. So
yeah.
We just dropped him because he was our last pick. So, of course, what do I get after the Cubs game today? Not that I didn't see it already because I was watching a damn game, but I get a text talking about what a great outing Francisco Liriano had.
That's not what it's
and it's like,
happen.
Okay, well, great. Let's just put him in our lineup for Patrick Corbin then next week, you know?
You got to be such a girl about this all the time. All I said is we have pitching problems right now. Our pitching staff is in disarray, and we're kind of mixing and matching and looking for matchups. And I don't have any issues with what we're putting in there. But when a guy has a good outing, I just text, hey, we actually had a guy who had a good outing for us. And then we're kind of looking between.
Do you think I don't know they have good outings? I mean, do you think I'm not paying attention?
I'm just trying to just throw
you know,
it out
you're just trying to
you know?
You're just trying to rub it in my face because you're blaming it on me that we don't have Liriano in the lineup. You know, I know what you're trying to do. I've been doing this with you long enough. So I know how this goes.
No,
you know, it's like when you thought, it's like when at the beginning of that trade, when they somehow convinced you that Jim Henderson was a top closer.
No,
I know how you get when you want to make trades. And I was just kind of like, I don't know why you bought that. I mean, did you buy Swampland in Florida too from those guys?
I didn't want Henderson. If you remember, I wanted Hernandez from the Diamondbacks. That's the guy I wanted.
No, I asked you if you liked the original trade, which was Jim Henderson and Patrick Corbin for Bryce Harper and Greg Holland. And you said yes.
I said he gave us a choice of a couple guys that he'd be willing to throw in, and the one guy he didn't throw, the one guy who I thought would make the deal for us was Hernandez, and I said I would push for Hernandez, and then I would like the deal. And that's why I said I wouldn't have taken it with the other guys. And
right, but
you
were willing to take either. You were willing to take the injured Jim Henderson in this deal because he's, according to the team that has him, he's a, I believe they called him a top 10 closer.
No, they called him top 5. They said at the beginning of the year he's a top 5 closer.
Oh, okay. Even better, he's a top 5 closer. So, again, my question is, how much swamp land did you buy from these guys in Florida is what I want to know. Did they sell you a bridge, too? Please tell me you didn't buy a bridge.
Your revisionist history kills me because I told you I wanted Hernandez, and you said you weren't sold on him either. And I said Holland had three save opportunities in the month of May, and he only converted one of them. And I said he's not looking as a good option, and Hernandez is going to, even if he's sharing time right now, he's going to get a lot more opportunities than Holland is going to get because he's on a winning ball club, and he's going to have a whole lot more than three save opportunities a month, and saves are big in our league, and that Holland was a good time to get rid of Holland, and we could upgrade with Hernandez, even though Holland is a full-time closer in KC. He's not as good as Hernandez.
Hernandez wasn't the option because you were talking to me about Jim Henderson and him being the great top five closer. Even though he's hurt, then, you know, everything I've read said he's not getting his job back from K-Rod. So
we did bring up Hernandez, and I told you I would do it for Hernandez, and you weren't buying on Hernandez either. But maybe you got
Why would you ever want a part-time closer who's going to eventually lose his job the minute J.J. Putz comes back for a full-time guy who just happens to be struggling right now?
He's not struggling. The team is struggling. The kids,
that's not his fault.
I know.
I mean, they're still going to win 70 games, and he's going to save 30 of them.
I don't think he
will. I mean, at the end of the year, who's going to get more save opportunities, Greg Holland or David Hernandez?
David Hernandez.
Oh, you are so lying. David Hernandez isn't going to get close because the minute Putz is back and healthy, he's out of the closer role.
Well, we'll see. We'll see going forward.
And he's only splitting it right now with Heath Bell and who else? I mean, if somebody gets rolling and it's not Hernandez, he's out of the role, and we already have that guy in Joaquin Benoit. We don't need another one.
Okay, well, we'll see. But it didn't matter. We just did one for one, and we fleeced Patrick Corbin for Bryce Harper.
Yes. So now Patrick Corbin will never win another game this season. Just so anybody else who owns him in fantasy, deal him now because we have him. And if there's a pitcher on our team, he's done. So ship him off. I guarantee you Wade Miley wins more games this season than Patrick Corbin. So
you're just saying that because you want to feel good. You got a man crush on Wade Miley. That's the only reason you say that.
Hey, who won a game this week, all right? Huh? Has Patrick Corbin won a game this week for the Diamondbacks? No, he has not.
We'll find out tonight if he's won a game this week.
All right. Did Wade Miley win a game for the Diamondbacks this week? Yes, he did. All right? So
yes,
leave me alone.
Did. Jeez.
Don't bother me with your Wade Miley insults. You're just jealous because you were all in on Brandon Morrow and I was all in on Wade Miley and I got the better end of that deal.
It's early. Relax. When he comes off the DL, they'll have him fixed, and he's going to get on a roll.
Fixed? He's going to go see Ricky Romero when he comes off the DL. So they'll probably ship him to AA and let him sit down there for all he's been doing the jump. I hope we cut him this week.
Well, we got a lot of discussions to have on Sunday about our roster and who to pick up. So
yeah, we're like cut the entire pitching staff, just so you know. The dude from Minnesota's gone. Brandon Morrow's gone. I think somebody else is gone. How many pitchers can we drop in a week?
We can drop up to 5.
Okay, then we're going to drop 5 pitchers. So that's it. They're all gone.
Settling on a rotation. I mean, we've got a decent rotation, I think, going forward. Liriano continues to look good. Justin Masters.
Yeah, against the Cubs. We've got to get him to pitch good against somebody else besides the Cubs.
He's had one bad outing since he's been back. So he's been
and that was against the Tigers, which I expected. That's why we didn't use him.
No, I agree. But, you know, Justin Masterson's streaky. But he looks like he's going to be a good option for the rest of the year. We got Patrick Corbin now, and we just got to figure out that
fourth another
spot.
Dream.
Yeah, he might not. And then Ricky Nolasco's looked good since we've had him. It's just the Dan Marlins can't win.
Well, you know, it's the problem I told you when we picked him up is he's just not going to win any games. You know, he gives you a really good line, but though it's almost always going to be a loss. What we need is the same thing I need in our fantasy leagues, and that's to finally them deal him to a contender. And sooner or later, it's going to happen. So you might as well hold. We might as well hold on to him.
No, I don't want to get rid of him.
They've been wanting to get rid of him since the beginning of the year. He's one of their chips.
No, but what I'm saying is he's even with him not being able to score enough to win, he's been in every game he's playing, he's in position to get the win. So, you know, you can't get rid of him. I'm looking here to see. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys that we got to talk about moving,
yeah,
you know, dropping.
You know, well, yeah, I just told you what's going to happen. So, you know, at least five of them are going to go, and then we'll figure it out from there.
All right. Here,
I don't even know if we have five starting pitchers. So.
Oh, we do. You guys
about Dan?
Two.
He's actually been decent for us since we've had him.
I know, and you didn't want him. You laughed at me when I got him, but that's all right.
Yes.
But I told you today, I tried to do one of those daily leagues for fantasy sports.
Mm-hmm.
And
sorry, I had to have a drink there. Sorry.
That's okay. And I went to this place called Draft Street. The reason I went there is I was on MLB.com or MLBTradeRumors.com, and they had this thing where they had one of their experts, and Draft Street was doing this thing, play against their expert. And anybody who beats the expert gets half their entry fee back, even if you don't qualify for any of the prize money. But then there's, you know, first place gets $500 for this or something, and second place is $350 for this league. And there's 151 people in the league, and you get there's different types. The one I went with was a salary cap, so you have $100,000 to spend, and they rate each player based on matchups. How much money it goes towards your cap. So I went in there, and the first thing I'm having a problem with is it told me that for pitching, you needed two starters and one reliever. Well, every team that I'm looking at has three starters. And I'm just wondering how they did that, because it told me I had to have two starters and a reliever. But anyways, I picked up Kuroki from the Yankees today. I thought against Seattle that was a great matchup. And I have Patrick Corbin starting against San Francisco because Matt Cain's been suffering. So I figured that's a really good matchup for Corbin. And then I took Mojica as my closer, which now is not going to get an opportunity because St. Louis is just blowing out Cincinnati. So he's not going to get in the game tonight. But here's how my offense turned out. You tell me what you think. I end up with Jason Castro from Houston at catching. First base, I got Paul Goldschmidt, second base is Jason Kipnis. Third base, I got Evan Longoria. Everett Cabrera is playing short for me. I got your guy, Colby Rasmus, is one of my outfield positions. I got Gerardo Parra is my second outfielder, and Carlos Gomez at my third outfield position. Then you get a utility guy. So I have Prince Fielder as my utility guy.
Okay, so you spent big on Goldschmidt and Fielder.
I did, and then on Corbin, I spent big on.
Yeah, Corbin, yeah.
But I just finally got positive points. You get negative points in this game. You lose points for strikeouts, for caught stealing, for things like that, and I'm just getting crushed. And I thought I had a pretty good team going into this thing. Now, I still got a lot of guys to still go. Goldschmidt hasn't played yet. None of my pitchers have played yet. Parra hasn't played. There's still some guys, guys are going. But I thought Prince Fielder against Cleveland today was going to have a monster game. He's 0-for. I'm just getting killed here. The leader right now is 47 points, and I have 5.
Well, you know, maybe you'll get some big pitching outings or something and, you know, catch back up. But, yeah, they always say the advice is never take a reliever. So you'll have to figure out how they did it. Unless guys do guys qualify at two positions or something like that? Is it like the Yahoo leagues?
No, because like this one, it's the guy I'm looking at now. Well, Chris Archer actually may qualify as a relief pitcher. I think he's only started since he's been up. But this guy's got Chris Archer, Jared Parker, Justin Verlander is his pitching.
Wait, Chris Archer who?
Chris Archer from Tampa Bay.
Right. And who were the other guys?
It was Chris Archer, Justin Verlander, and Jared Parker.
Okay.
And I know the other two aren't there. You know, this guy's got Kuroda, Verlander, and Corbin. So none of those guys.
Yeah, that's obvious. Yeah, that's weird. You'll have to look into that and see how that worked. Boy, he spent some money on pitching, huh?
Yeah, he did, because Justin Verlander was the top pitcher as far as money goes, and he's not racking up a lot of points today. He's giving up some runs, so that's killing him. I looked at the scoring earlier, and I think he gets points for wins, so that should do it for him, or should get him some points. But I'm a little upset that, had I known that, I would have picked up a third pitcher today.
Because you're going to get nothing out of that spot instead of, you know, at something or anything. So
it's just interesting. It's a learning experience. It's the first time doing a daily league. So. But the game.
So yeah, well, you know, I know that something we had, you know, talked about. I've been meaning to look into it, and I just kind of, you know, end up forgetting to do it, or I just, you know, get sidetracked doing something else. So, because I hear about it all the time on, you know, our my favorite radio station. They do daily stuff too. So,
the one thing I found really interesting was you get $100,000 to spend, and the money's weird. You know, the money's for each person's salary. It could be like $7,632, or you might see $8,075 or whatever. So there's nothing that makes sense. But I ended up at exactly $100,000. I had nothing left over when I was done. That was ironic that it came out at exactly $100,000. And I did the lineup three times before I settled, and the other ones I always had a little bit extra money, and the one I went with I ended up at right at $100,000.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of different strategies that I've heard. I know there's guys who will not take anybody who's playing in a day game. They only want guys who play at night.
Hmm.
I don't know what the difference is there, or, you know, anything like that. It's just one of those situations, I guess. But, yeah, I've heard, you know, a gazillion different strategies on how to do it. And, you know, I've always wanted to look into it, but I know some of them are pretty pricey. You know, the one guy I heard overnight, they were talking about, apparently there's one with like, I think it's $1,000 entry fee to get into this tournament. But if you win, you win $100,000.
Wow.
But it's just kind of like, man, I don't really have $1,000 to drop on a fantasy baseball team. So,
well, I'll tell you, the one I got into, one, they didn't allow the day games today. Those were not on the table. You couldn't pick from any of the day games. So that was the league rule that we had. And you can make your own leagues and get people to join and stuff too. But it was only an $11 entry fee.
Oh.
So you had to open up an account when I did it, it was you opened up and you got, it was $25 to open up your account, and then you got $5 extra as a bonus or something. So I got $30 for 25, and I played one game, so that was 11. So, and then there's other things that I got. They gave me, I don't understand it all yet. I'm looking, I got street cred. So I got money for getting street cred because I signed up, and I got some other stuff, and they end up getting a few bucks or something, but $25 to get, you know, to get in, and then, so I've got a couple days worth of games to play, so I'll play again tomorrow and see how it works out. But it's driving me nuts because you're sitting here and you're watching it, and it's worse, you know, when you're doing fantasy, it's like fantasy football when you're on Sunday and you're just watching your team and seeing the numbers change and what's going on, and I'm watching and all my guys are going backwards, and I'm like, this sucks. It's driving me crazy. It's maddening.
Well, that's, you know, that's what makes it fun, is you going crazy. So.
Well, it does.
So now, did you have time to make the list that I gave you?
Yeah, I got it. And the one thing, yeah, and the, it was the one thing that I noticed when I'm doing the list now. The National League by far has much better has a better crop of shortstops than the American League. I had never really realized that until I had to do the list and compared the best from the National League and American League. But here, one, two, I did the top five.
So oh, okay. What did we do last week?
We did top five.
Oh, okay. Who are your top five American shortstops? American League shortstops. Sorry.
There you go. Yeah, because they might not. I'm looking through here. There's probably two from America on the list, and one of them I'm not sure about. Number five, though, on my list is Alexi Ramirez.
Yeah,
He didn't. Actually, I had a hard time putting him on the list. I almost put somebody else on the list.
Did, Homer.
Yeah, 272, one home run, and 12 stolen bases. So we're just looking pure fantasy. I'm not looking at the fielding, defense. It doesn't count in this. Adrubal Cabrera was number four.
But he's hurt.
But he's still the fourth best in fantasy. When he comes back, he's a top five option for sure. First campaign this year, he's 254, 5-5 is what he's hitting. Number three shortstop is Elvis Andrus. He's hitting 261. He's got no dingers, but 14 stolen bases. So number two, J.J. Hardy, hitting 266, 13 homers, no stolen bases. And number one is Johnny Peralta, hitting 335, 6, and 2 stolen bases.
Boy, I mean, you just can't stay away from those guys who cheat, can you? If there's a cheater, man, he is on your list somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah, if there's a cheater, he's on your Seahawks, isn't he?
No, not at all. Yeah, you're way ahead of me cheater wise. You and your big friend, big fan of Ryan Braun, and now you rank Johnny Peralta number one. Good Lord.
All I said about Ryan Braun was he was never convicted of anything. And I saw an interesting comparison since you're on this big, you're hurt over this whole thing. They're comparing Ryan Braun, I've heard people say he's going to be the Major League Baseball's Lance Armstrong, because the people who handled the specimens and that, he tried to ruin their careers and went after them, and if it comes out that he was cheating,
situation. No, if is off the table. There's no more ifs anymore if Ryan Braun was cheating, all right? Told you, they are just lucky that I am not commissioner of baseball, because they would never play again. So
I saw an article with Frank Thomas where he said him and a bunch of other legends, they said, do not think that anybody linked to PEDs should ever be in the Hall of Fame.
No, well, there are certain guys you wonder, obviously, like a guy like Rodriguez can never go in. Braun can never go in. Sadly, I don't think Barry Bonds can ever go in. Bonds is so weird because he would have been a Hall of Famer without them. So I don't know why. I guess he only took him to break records.
When he was in Pittsburgh, and it was him and Bobby Bonilla, those guys were incredible together. And when he was stealing bases, and he had power too, and he could hit for average. He was a great all around player.
He was originally a five tool guy.
Yep. And then the Royals changed that to he was just hitting for average and power.
Yeah, obviously, McGuire can't go in. I don't think Sosa can ever go in. Palmeiro, any of those guys, maybe somewhere down the line, somebody puts them in if they can stay on the ballot and, it's 15 years down the road and they're in their last year of eligibility. But, yes, I think as long as you know, the old guard is voting, I don't see them getting in. You know, I mean, because if these guys are going to go in, you have to put Pete Rose in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just kind of how things, you know, to things should work, especially to me. I mean, you know, Rose never cheated the game. You know, these guys cheated at the game.
No, I think Pete Rose should be in. I think baseball needs to bury the hatchet and let him in. But I was listening to Jose Canseco, and we were kind of talking about this week, and Jose Canseco was, you know, giving his perspective on what to do with these guys, and his thing that he said, now I don't like Jose Canseco at all. I think the guy's a snitch and a tool and lots of other things, but everything he said has come true, and he's been dead on, and I guess when you're in the middle of it, you kind of have more information than anybody else. But he said that Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire both belong in baseball and are in the Hall of Fame. And he said his reasoning is they brought baseball back to be the top sport in America. And if it wasn't for them and what they did, their home run, their home run thing and stuff, that baseball wouldn't be where it's at. And America doesn't care who's using PEDs. They want to be entertained, and that's what baseball is. It's sports entertainment. And he compared it to WWE and said that's what people want to see, is the big home runs and that kind of stuff. And if you take PEDs out, you're going to lose all that, and people don't have, you know, he didn't come out and say it this way, but this is what I inferred from what he said. People don't have the attention span or don't like the game when it's a lot more strategy than just to go up there and hit the ball as far as you can.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll agree with him on the fact that McGwire and Sosa brought baseball back. I'll give them that. But, you know, there are people who care if guys are taking stuff, because, I mean, I do. It bothers me when these guys do that kind of stuff. I mean, you're good enough to get to the major leagues. Why taint that? I mean, just because you want to hit a few more home runs?
Well, but you're a purist. You come from a different era than a lot of baseball fans today. And here's one thing that when we're talking about this and I'm thinking about it, I was at the Brewers game a couple of days ago, the Brewers and DAs, and I was in Milwaukee. And where we were sitting, there was two guys sitting in front of me. And they sat down, and they got their cell phones out, and then they brought out their scorecards, and they were scoring the game. And now they had 20 years on me, probably 10 to 15 years or whatever. They were in their late 50s, early 60s, and they were scoring the game. And I can't remember the last time I was at a game that you saw people, that were scoring the game. And you don't see guys who are running
the ball. I always score the game when I go to the game. What's wrong with you? You don't?
No, I don't. I'm not one of those guys, but I'm more of a purist. I'd rather see the strategy, and that's why I like to go to the games and can't watch it on TV. It's harder to watch it on TV because you don't get to see the shifts and what the guy, what they're doing, when they're pitching the guy in and they've got the infield in, or, they're shifting to get the guy to hit it where they want and get the play that they want. You don't see that stuff on TV, and I'd rather go to the game because you get to see all that. But most people don't care about the little nuances. They just want to see the doubles, the triples, the home runs, and that kind of stuff, and don't care about everything else that's going on in the game inside the game, I guess you'd say.
See, I think you're wrong. I think there's more people who care about it than people actually know.
Well, how many people, when you're hearing the stories about people cheating and stuff, how many fans do you hear call in and say, you're right, these guys cheat, I can't root for them anymore? The stadiums are still filled every game.
Obviously it depends where you look. I mean, the U.S. Cellular isn't full tonight. I flashed by that game a couple times. So...
But they don't have anybody who's even on that list for cheating. The difference is they're just bad, and Chicago.
Yeah, well,
fans,
you know,
aren't
The Mariners, aren't selling out either, and Jesus Montero was on that list. So.
Hey, where are you? I can't see you. Let me hear you. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the
All right, here we go. Here's our Sports Time Radio stretch. We've got two finals so far today. Toronto over Texas, 6-1. Pittsburgh shut out the Cubs today, 2-0. We're going to go over to ninth inning action. We find Tampa Bay over Baltimore, 2-1. In the eighth inning, St. Louis over Cincinnati, 8-2. Cleveland trails Detroit, 7-3. In the sixth inning, we find Chicago shutting out Oakland right now. The White Sox are shutting out Oakland, A's 3-0. Houston trails KC 2-1. In the fifth inning, Philadelphia leads Milwaukee 4-2. San Diego over Colorado 8-2. San Francisco and Arizona just getting underway. We've got a couple late games tonight. The Yankees visit Seattle. Atlanta at the Dodgers, and postponed we have Minnesota at Washington, the Angels at Boston, and Miami at New York Mets today. That's your seventh inning stretch.
No, just the stretch.
It sounds better, the seventh inning stretch.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. You're wrong. So, you kind of figure anything on the East Coast is pretty much rained out today, or at least the Southeast. So.
You mean Northeast?
No, Southeast.
No, because Atlanta's playing, and so was Miami, or Miami games were going on, or Tampa Bay.
Well, don't they have a dome?
Yeah, but you wouldn't, if it was that bad, they wouldn't be going to the game. They'd be calling it.
I know. But isn't Atlanta in LA?
Yeah, actually they are. They're in the late game, so there you go. So I was only right on half of my argument.
Yes, you are. But we like Atlanta anyways.
They could just hit. Nice.
All right, there's our racist Atlanta Braves music. So, I don't get to play that too often. So, I don't remember what this one is. I got to see. Maybe this one was better. Yeah, kind of the same thing. Okay. So.
Nice.
It's basically, I think all we have, you didn't get any baseball music. We just got all like football music. So we're all set and ready to go for football season coming up. But anyways, I keep listening to all these. I'm still baffled that people are having fantasy football drafts at this time. I mean, it's freaking June and they're picking fantasy teams. I don't know how the heck they managed to do that, but they were talking about how Calvin Johnson is the number one guy. And I mean, I guess if you're in a PPR league, that makes sense. But, otherwise, could Calvin Johnson go number one?
I don't think so. I think he's still. I still think you need to go with Adrian Peterson, still number one.
I think the thing that baffles me is, most leagues touchdowns are 6 points. Calvin Johnson's only going to get you, what? I mean, he had trouble getting in the end zone last year, but you figure 10. We're give him 10 touchdowns maybe this season. Running back, an Adrian Peterson or a Doug Martin or an Arian Foster is probably going to get you double that.
Arian Foster, if he stays healthy, will get you double that. But the other two, I think you're absolutely right.
I would – I mean, I would love to be sitting at number two and have somebody take Calvin Johnson number one. I wouldn't have an issue with that at all. I mean, I really think this year is the year you need to be in, like, the top four maybe for drafts, because I really think you need, you know, you need to land an Adrian Peterson or a Doug Martin or an Arian Foster, and I think there's one more running back that I was really high on, and I'm drawing a blank on who it is right now. But, you know, I really think you need to land one of those guys because they're, you know, going to be the main scoring stud-type backs this season.
Trying to get in here and pull something up. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that you're really missing. I think, now I've got a blank, the back in Cleveland's going to have a really good year this year if he stays healthy.
Oh, yeah, Trent Richardson, but he's hurt now. He's not due back till
August
training camp. So, you begin to wonder if he's going to start having lingering injuries and stuff, you know. So that, you know, that could be kind of a drawback there. He seems to keep getting banged up. So you wonder how much of the load he's going to be able to carry.
You know, just back to the question, you know, about who's number one. Do you think Detroit's offense has improved that much from last year? I know they've solidified their running back situation. But what else has changed over there to make you think that they're going to be better at getting in the, you know, in the end zone? They were able to go between the 20s last year, but once they got in the 20s, they weren't able to get in. And if you're saying that them solidifying the running back position is going to get them in the end zone, that's going to take the opportunities away from Calvin Johnson because they're going to be pounding the ball and they're not going to be throwing it in.
Well, no, but a lot of it, you know, last year was just poor play calling. You know, if play calling improves or, you know, anything like that, I mean, just on a fluke, he's got to get in the end zone a few more times than last year. I mean, just out of sheer luck.
You know, the one guy, here's the guy that you're forgetting. I know who you're thinking about now. You're forgetting LeSean McCoy.
No. The guy they always talk about who's the fourth guy, I actually remembered it popped into my head, is Jamal Charles, but I'm not all that sold on him.
Well, here's what I'm looking at. This is Yahoo's big board right now. So here's their top – I'm going to give you their top 10, all right? We're just going to go with Yahoo's board. So if you're in the Yahoo League and you're using their ranking, this is what you're going to see.
We will be. So.
Yeah. It's Adrian Peterson's number one, Arian Foster number two, LeSean McCoy number three, Doug Martin four, Jamal Charles is five, Calvin Johnson six, Marshawn Lynch seven, Alfred Morris eight, Ray Rice nine, and A.J. Green 10. So you've got two wide receivers, eight running backs, and no quarterbacks in the top 10. And the first quarterback in this ranking that they have, I'm looking. You gotta go pretty far down. Drew Brees at 20 right now.
Yeah, that's about right. They were saying it's, you know, last year was like the year of the quarterback, and this year it's supposed to be more running back heavy. So, but you ranked top 10, and I didn't hear you say Trent Richardson.
No, Trent Richardson. Here they have it 16. Here I'll give you 11 through 20 real quick. C.J. Spiller is 11. Brandon Marshall 12. Dez Bryant 13. Matt Forte is 14. Maurice Jones-Drew 15. Trent Richardson 16. The first tight end is Jimmy Graham at 17.
Yeah.
Julio Jones is 18. Demaryius Thomas is 19, and then Drew Brees is 20.
Huh. Because I know our regular Yahoo League is very running back heavy. So, you know, I know those guys are going to fly off the board. But, yeah, it's just weird.
But there's plenty of them, I guess. So if you're looking at, you know, with the amount of running backs, if you're in a 14-team league and you're drafting kind of in the middle or towards the end, you could skip on a running back, grab one of the top wide receivers early, grab yourself a quarterback, and you could probably still find somebody good in the third round to put in, you know, plug in as your running back position. And, you know, instead of going down and getting lower quality wide or running backs that's so stacked, go get some of the more, you know, the other positions, get the elite players at the other positions.
Yeah, I don't know. That's always been tough to do, though, you know, in our league. I know the guys who kind of jump out and don't get, you know, at least that one big stud running back don't normally win our leagues.
But if you had last year, if you had an average running back, and let's say you jumped up and you took you ended up with Calvin Johnson and you were able to get a Brandon Marshall, you probably had a really good shot at winning the league, no matter who your running back was.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, though, you know, like in our league, which is 20 teams, stuff like that doesn't happen. You don't get Brandon Marshall and Calvin Johnson on the same team, at least not in
no.
the draft. So.
No, you're absolutely right, but, you know, but that's strategy you could use in a smaller league because it's so stacked at running back that you don't need to go, you know, what's the difference between Marshawn Lynch and Ray Rice? I mean, is there, you know, and when you're looking at it, you got Marshawn Lynch, Alfred Morris, Ray Rice, C.J. Spiller turned out to be a stud last year. It looks like he's going to be this year. You know, and Matt Forte, I mean, is there a big difference between any of those guys?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the key you have to kind of figure out, you know. I mean, that's why, you know, research is so ultra important because I know Ray Rice is going to split carries. You know, they want to get, is it Bernard Pierce, I believe it is? They want to get him more involved in their offense. But then to swing the other way, Matt Forte is going to be more involved in the offense now because they want to go back to throwing him the football. So, you know, that, you know, would increase his value, you know, especially in a league like ours. So, you have to, you know, again, that's where your research has to come in, and you really can't go off the rankings. You have to be able to make your own and kind of tailor it because, like, our scoring system is different than what a base Yahoo scoring system is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I go in and change it, obviously. So, you know, you have to, you know, make sure you're ranking your guys more along the fact of what our scoring system does. Because it won't, you know, like you won't win our league if you're good in the Yahoo scoring league. Ours is too mm-hmm. different.
No, I agree. Here's something that's interesting. Ranked 31st is Russell Wilson. So I know you're a big Russell Wilson fan. But here's a couple guys that are ranked below him that I just find interesting, and you tell me what you think. Peyton Manning is below him. Tom Brady is below him. Matthew Stafford is below him. And Matt Ryan's below him. And Robert Griffin III.
Well, Griffin's down there because he's hurt. So
I know it's kind of you wait and see, and he'll climb after he proves that his leg is up, but or his leg is okay. But I'm just wondering, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, how are those guys ranked below Russell Wilson? I know he had a great second half of the year last year. He really came on, but is he really in the same league as Peyton Manning and Tom Brady?
Well, you know, that's what obviously what he's got to prove, you know, but that's just, you know, that's a big kind of reach there to, you know, like, I don't think I would take him ahead of Brady or Manning. I know people will because there's a lot of those risk-reward type guys, and that's what Wilson is. So, you know, it's just kind of wait and see.
But with Tom Brady, I understand there's a lot of question marks with Wes Welker leaving, and Gronk is hurt. And, you know, what's their offense going to look like? But I always have the Tom Belichick argument. Tom Belichick is the mad scientist.
I'm going to guess you mean Bill Belichick, because I don't know who Tom Belichick is.
Yeah, ego. He's Bill Belichick by day. He's Tom Belichick when he's on the X's and O's on the blackboard. Yeah, I got him and Tom Brady kind of mixed up in my head there. But Peyton Manning, what they subtracted from New England, Peyton Manning got, and he had a very good core of receivers over there last year. And what I would think that there's more opportunity for him to be productive, and he was really good last year. You know, so I just don't get the ranking with that one.
No, well, you know, like I got a big kick out of, they were actually talking about fantasy football on my way home from work this morning. And one guy was explaining why he moved Colin Kaepernick so far down his list. And he just based it specifically off the fact that Michael Crabtree is hurt. And, I mean, literally, the guy was acting like they were only going to play with 10 players on offense and nobody was going to fill that spot.
Hmm.
So, you know, obviously, you know, somebody's going to play there.
I'm just curious. While we're talking, I want to pull up Crabtree's numbers, because I know Crabtree came alive in their, you know, when they're pushing for, you know, into the playoffs at the end of the year, but were his numbers that good the whole year?
I wasn't that sold on him. I mean, he was their number one. You know, I'll give him that. But, you know, you're also forgetting this team went out and traded for Antoine Bolden. They have him. They have Mario Manningham, who I believe is going to be healthy this year. And don't forget, Vernon Davis is their tight end.
Yep. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons.
Right. It's not like they don't have, you know, different weapons, not to mention, you know, they have LaMichael James in the backfield who they can throw to. You know, he is a receiver. He caught the ball quite a bit in college as well. So he can catch the ball out of the backfield. But, yeah, I was just kind of shocked with the way this guy was just dismissing – you know, Kaepernick, just, oh, okay, yeah, you know, Crabtree's hurt, he's done. So
Crabtree's numbers are better than what I would have thought if you would have had me guess what he did last year. I knew he was really good, you know, the second half of the year, and especially down the stretch, and in the playoffs he had a good playoff run. But he had 85 receptions for 1,105 yards and 9 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had a productive year. He had 1,000 yards receiving, 85 receptions. So, I mean, he had a decent year, but it's not like you're losing Calvin Johnson.
Right, yeah. You know, it was just kind of weird the way, you know, they reacted to it. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, I would still be pretty happy, because I think he dropped him – I think he said he had him ranked as the 7th quarterback to take, and then he dropped him all the way back to 15. And I was just kind of like, wow, that's a long way to go, just losing one receiver. So I was like, well, okay. I mean, you know, how – I don't even know how to react to that.
If I told you since the update, the White Sox were up 3-0. And they were rolling along, and I told you they were now losing, would you be shocked?
No, because A, I had the game on, and B, it's the White Sox. So.
Yeah, that's
I mean, the sad part is it kills me, because it's Chris Sale giving up the runs, and I got him in one of the damn fantasy leagues. So, you know, not what I needed. I kind of need, you know, I kind of like getting wins out of my starting pitchers. So, you know, it was no big shock, though, that they managed to give up some runs and give away the games. And oddly, Sale was one of the guys they talked about as being one of the best plays in those daily fantasy leagues. They thought he was going to be a good play tonight.
You know what? I looked at Sale, and I looked at him, and I said, there's no way that I can trust Sale or the White Sox, because let's say Sale pitches a gem and he gives up one or two runs over eight innings, let's say, or something, the White Sox aren't going to score enough runs to support him. So even if he goes up there and has a stellar outing, where are the runs coming from? They don't manufacture runs and they don't score. And Oakland's just a good team this year. And even though Jared Parker was pitching and he's not having a stellar year, I wasn't betting against the A's.
No, yeah, it wasn't, you know. Like, you know, I think they were just kind of basing it off the fact that, you know, it's Chris Sale and, you know, you kind of think he's a top pitcher. But, yeah, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to believe that you would, you know, want to run him out there with the way, you know, because there's always a chance the White Sox won't score.
You know, but the one thing I was shocked, I heard this stat today. Do you know who the team who's been shut out the most times this year is?
The Braves.
No, Braves are number two. That was where I was going to get to the surprise for you. The Braves are number two. The Marlins are the top team. And I wasn't shocked by that, but they said, and the number two team, and I was expecting to say the White Sox, and it was the Braves.
I think I kind of knew that, so I don't know why. It was just one of those odd things.
So
not surprised the Marlins are the team that's been shut out the most, so that didn't shock me at all. So, you know, I'm unbound by that at all, so... You know, and now are you surprised that the Cubs passed on the pitcher and went with the third baseman in the first round with the number two pick?
You know, at first, when I first heard it, I was shocked just simply because all the talk coming out of the Cubs camp is they need to get pitching in the minor leagues. They have to do it through the draft because people aren't giving up pitchers. It's the only way to get it, and they need to stock their minor league system. And this guy's throwing 100 miles an hour, the guy who went third. I forget what his name is, but he went third. So there was the two best pitchers went first and third. But then I saw the numbers that the third baseman they picked up was putting up, and this guy's a beast, you know. So I'm not – I don't think they had a bad pick. I was just surprised because of the need they need that position. But the third baseman they got, he hit like 37 homers last year.
I got quite a chuckle out of the fact that already they're saying, A, he may not be able to play third base at the major league level and he may have to become an outfielder, and B, they believe that they're going to have to change his stance and swing because the way he does now, he won't be able to hit a major league fastball.
Then why does he go second overall?
I don't know. I didn't pick him. That's just what the reports are. I got quite a kick out of that they picked the guy second and they're already changing him.
Well, we'll see. Now, is that the White or is that the Cubs organization who said they have to change it, or is that all the "quote unquote" experts that are saying that they'll have to do this?
The report I heard supposedly came from the Cubs organization.
Okay.
You know, it was reported on the what's it called now, Sports Talk Live. They were the ones talking about it, and they supposedly got it from somebody in the Cubs organization.
Will be interesting to see. I mean, obviously the guy's got talent. If he hit 37 home runs at the collegiate level, because that's where he's out of, right? He's college to he was taken out of college. The two pitchers came out of college, and then the guy who went fourth is out of high school, I believe.
I know the Cubs in the first few rounds. I think it was the first five or seven rounds or something. The Cubs had taken only college players; they hadn't taken a high school player. So, so So yeah, that was their plan, was to stick with the college guys, so they're supposed to be a little quicker turnaround. But the pitcher they passed on was Jonathan Gray, and he failed a PED test. So I'm wondering how much that had to do with him throwing 100 miles an hour.
Maybe a lot.
Because they did say the guy who went first was Mark Appel, and he was the guy they wanted. They were hoping that Houston would go with Gray because they were undecided which way they were going to go, and the Cubs wanted Mark. They wanted Mark Appel, but when he went, they went for the third baseman, who is I know his last name's Bryant. Is it Kristen or Chris or something like that? So. Yeah, he ended up being their choice. But, you know, yeah, they have they obviously have a huge need at third base, but, you know, hopefully this guy is actually a third baseman. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, all the reports are he's apparently not too far away from being major league ready. So we'll see how fast he can get himself up. You know, I mean, the White Sox have good luck with guys like, you know, Chris Sale and Gordon Beckham and getting them to the majors right away. But I don't, you know, the Cubs obviously haven't had that kind of luck with their players. So
now I know we've only got like 4 minutes. So it's not a topic for today, but just something one of these days I've been thinking about and trying to figure out. What do the White Sox need to do to fix their organization? How are they going to get better with what they have? And I'd be interested to hear what you think and kind of talk about that maybe next Friday, because that's organization that I think is in a lot of trouble, and they can't.
Oh yeah, they're in just huge trouble.
You know, and they can't keep doing it the way they've been doing it for the last
Well, you know, like we mentioned it a little on Wednesday, because, you know, the way it looks, they're going to be sellers. But the problem is they don't have any pieces to sell. So, you know, because, I mean, you look at the guys, you know, we kind of went through it, and they could probably get something for Alexi Ramirez and Alex Rios. But other than that, you know, who can I mean, they'll be, obviously there's some interest in their bullpen pitching, but yeah, I don't know, you know, you can't, how are you going to fill out the pieces?
Well, I guess the bigger question is who, if somebody comes calling, who won't you move? And I can only name a couple people that you don't move no matter what happens, you know, obviously you don't move Chris Sale.
Right. Yeah, I think the only two guys, you know, you probably wouldn't move Gordon Beckham. I mean, unless you're bowled over with an offer for him. And, yeah, you're not moving Chris Sale. Anybody else, you know, you give them, let them have them.
Yeah, and Rios moves, and you got to get Jordan Danks, and they got to finally figure out what they have with Danks. You know, are you convinced yet that Tyler Flowers is a catcher of the future?
So, yeah, I'm kind of sold on him. I know the critics aren't, but I don't have an issue with him. You know, he struggled a little bit, but you expected that. I mean, I don't think anybody thought he was going to have the kind of year, A.J. Pierzynski had last season, but, you know, some people are saying, you know, he's a bust already.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is if you think that he's that guy, then you don't move him either, because you need him as your backstop, and he's young. Yeah, I know he's old for a rookie, but he's still young enough where you're going to get many years out of him, and you got to keep him. But those are, you know, and I'm wishy-washy about Addison Reed. He's the only other guy that you might not want to move.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it's something we can look at. Maybe next Friday I'll remember to put it in the format. You'll have to remind me, but you and I have to go away now because we're out of time. So, as always, we thank Mr. Fantasy for filling in for Dan, who is resting and will be all ready for Sunday's show. So say goodnight to everybody, and I'll play us out here.
Good night.